Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Yud Ches Halacha Gimel, Chapter 18, Law 3. We're talking about general rules about when we give lashes, when we don't give lashes. We ended off by giving six scenarios. Just press the arrows and I'll pinch it. That's it. And we said there were six types of categories that do not receive lashes. And one that we did not yet explain is a lav shebechlolus. And that's what Halacha Gimel is going to explain, a lav shebechlolus. The English calls it of a general nature. Now, this is a counterintuitive concept, but we'll have to live with it. But we'll explain what it is. What is a lav shebechlolus? It's a lav echad. It's one negative commandment, the words of the one negative commandment, shekolel inyanim harbe, that incorporate many different subcategories within it. In other words, this one clause means that a number of things is prohibited because they share like a common denominator with this one thing, as opposed to other lavim. For example, you shall not eat pig. Well, it means only one thing. You can't eat a pig. Finished, right? But here, we'll have an example coming up of where it says you shall not this, but it means three different types of prohibitions within that one. And for some reason, only God understands, we don't get lashed for any of them. So let's explain. Kigon, for example.
So whenever it's...
We'll give an example, it'll make it clear. It says in the Torah, lo sochlu al hadam. Those are the words. That's definitely a law. It says, thou shalt not eat upon the blood. Okay, thou shalt not eat upon the blood. What does that mean? Well, the rabbis explain it means a number of things thou shalt not do. Number one, you can't eat an animal before it's died. You shechted it, but it's still not yet dead. It's not totally dead. The soul hasn't come out yet, as it were. You can't eat it yet. If you do, you transgress that. You can't eat meat from a korban if the blood has not been sprinkled for the kapara. You can't eat on the blood. You can't as well. You're not allowed to give a meal of condolence for relatives of someone who was killed by a capital crime. Remember we had that? Thou shalt not eat on the blood. Don't feed them a meal. Don't have them mourn properly for them on someone that you killed. You're not supposed to eat before davening. You don't eat before you pray for your blood, for your own life. So those are four prohibitions, but they're all learned from the one text. A bezdin that kills somebody that day in court cannot eat the entire day. Lo sochel al adam, don't eat on the blood. Right? And there's others. So they're all not, that's not the same. Remember, we learn all of them from the classic. Thou shalt not muzzle your animal. That's the classic. We learn from that. So thou shalt not muzzle animal, that's only one thing. You know, as much as men and wives would think they should, you know, keep their husbands from overeating, but that's not in that law. It's only one thing. Animal, muzzle, that's it. So the law has to be, it's one thing and one thing only, and that law is on that thing and you can't do it. And if you do that, you get lashed. But if that law is such a general law that includes six things, as much as you and I would have thought, so we'll lash him for any one of those six. But the Gemara says, nope, we can't do that. It has to be precise for exactly the way it says it in the Torah. That's the only way it works. Zeres HaKosef. It's a decree, and that's it. We have to live with it. That's a lav shebechlolos. So whenever you say, why is it usher from this pasuk? But not seven things would be usher from this pasuk. Now, the guy does the aver, we don't mean to say that he's a nice guy. He has sinned, and he's got it, but there's no way of him getting kapara through lashes.
That's as we talked about, the machlas could be worse.
Yeah, so that's a lav shebechlolos. We don't give lashes for that because it's not definite. If it's only one thing it could be, then it's clear. You know, we could even you could say even the warning is clear. Don't muzzle your animal. Is there any other way of understanding? But the guy says, well, don't eat on the blood. Well, it could be one of seven things. I don't know what you're talking about. So since it's not specific and precise, we don't lash for things that are not specific and precise. Okay, that's the rule. Okay. V'cheinim ne'mar, or let's say the guy says, lo sase dvar ploni uploni, He says you shouldn't do such and such. Ho v'lo yichad lo lav l'chol echad ve'echad. Now we're not going to understand what this means till we get to the example, because it's so abstract what he's saying. Even though he didn't designate the lav for each and every one of them, as it's written in the Torah, ein lokin al kol echad ve'echad. You don't get lashed for each and every one of them. Elam kein cholak oso b'lav achem, unless he divided them amongst other lavim. O nemer v'yashmua shenechluku, or he tells us how the rabbis understood to divide it up. What in the world is Ram talking about? So without the example he's going to give, I don't know what he's talking about. So let's look at the example and then you'll see what he means. Ketzad, let's have an example. All right, now let me preface this. The Torah says in the laws of a Korban Pesach, the Torah says the following. It says, well, we'll look in this, the pasuk coming up here. Kagon Zesh and Nemar. Look what it says. Al sochlu mimenu na uvashel mevushal. The Torah says, you shall not eat the Korban Pesach raw, and you should not eat it cooked. Okay, you can't. You can't eat a Korban Pesach if it's raw, number one. You can't eat a Korban that's cooked. It has to be roasted. Right? So now, so what happens if I eat a raw Korban Pesach? I've transgressed a negative prohibition. What if I eat a cooked Korban Pesach? I've transgressed a negative prohibition. Okay. Now, the question is, what if can he get lashed for this, or how will he get lashed for this? Okay, that becomes the issue over here. So it says, for example, this guy is quoting that we have this pasuk over here. It says this. So now, what happens now? Ein aloka, the person will not get lashed. Al hano v'hamavushal shtayim elachas. What if the guy eats a raw Korban Pesach? Let's say one piece is cooked and one piece is raw. So then how many lashes will he get? He will not get two lashes, but rather he'll get one lash. So what's the idea over here? The idea over here, really, let's think about it. If a guy would eat a piece of raw Korban Pesach, he will get one lash. He'll get lashed for that. If he eats a cooked Korban Pesach, he gets lashed for that. The problem is, the text should have, if the text would have been better, it would have said, don't eat it raw and don't eat it cooked. There's two separate different activities in this issue here. Isn't it two different things? Eating it raw is definitely different than eating it cooked. I mean, you can't do them both at the same time. It can't be raw and cooked, can it?
Not the same piece.
Not the same piece, right? Now really, so sort of, the Torah should have said, don't eat it raw, don't eat it cooked. But that's not what the Torah said. The Torah said, don't eat it raw or cooked. So it's really only one lav, one negative was expressed on the two activities over here. So since it didn't say this, so it comes out, if let's say the guy does both, even though he's doing two activities, but the Torah only has one lav for it. So he's doing like one right after the other. He's sitting down and having a piece of raw Korban Pesach and a piece of cooked Korban Pesach. We only can lash him one because the text only gives us one lav. But if he does, but I'll tell you what, let's say have three guys eating. One guy's eating a raw Korban Pesach, and that's all he's eating. One guy's eating a cooked Korban Pesach, and that's all he's eating. And the third guy is eating a raw and cooked Korban Pesach. What's going to be the halachic difference? They're all going to get one lash. Yeah. One set of lashes. Even though the other guy, wait a minute, if you add one plus one, you should get two. Mm-mm. This guy ate it raw when he got lashed. This one ate it cooked when he got lashed. Well, if the guy ate the raw and the cooked, you think he should get two. The problem is there's only one negative word for the two together. So therefore, even if the witnesses say, don't eat that raw piece and that cooked piece now, and he immediately puts one raw piece and one cooked piece in his mouth, he's only going to get lashed one Because there's only one love there, and there's no rabbinic interpretation that says, no, you get lashed twice over here. This is what it is. So even though what the chiddush here is, he's done two distinctly different prohibitive things. The fact of the matter is, because if one guy eats it raw, he gets lashed, and one guy eats it cooked, he gets lashed. And you'd think if one guy ate both together, he'd get lashed twice. The answer is no, because it must be, since the Torah only wrote one law for the two together, that means that's the maximum you can get for it. So that's what he meant when he said before, right? Since the Torah did not uniquely separate the two activities with two separate lavim, therefore we cannot give him separate lavim for doing those two activities together, unless we see where Gemara says explicitly, the tradition is that you get two for that.
So, because the Torah verse says this, that's what you'd go by, despite the fact that the warning could come as two separate warnings.
Yes, he could say, do not eat it raw. Do not eat it cooked.
Right, don't eat from that dish because it's raw. Don't eat from that dish because it's cooked, and then he takes from each dish.
That's right.
One set.
Because the Torah only makes it one lav.
Why did you say, don't eat it, period?
Well, be the same thing. We're being so explicit. Where the guy is giving a double jointed warning here, and he's being extremely explicit. There's two separate aspects here, but since the original prohibition is only one law for the two of them, you know, for example, you know, well, we don't get lashed for this. I'm just, someone comes up quickly. You know, what if a guy is a criminal? And there's two victims. One of them, the victim is sleeping, and the other one's awake. So what he's going to do, he's going to slowly slip out the wall to the guys who's sleeping, and at the same time point a gun at the other guy and say, hand over the money. How many averis is he doing?
Two.
Now, what is he doing? One is lo sik nov, and one is lo sik zol. Right? So there, he's doing there's two separate lavim. Torah doesn't say, do, lo, signov, vesignov. It's two separate lows for each one. He'll get, if he'd be warned, he'd get lashed twice. But here, it's two activities under one don't. So that means you can't get more than one set of lashes for these two activities. That's the uniqueness of it. Although, if one guy does one, he gets lashed. One guy does the other, he gets lashed. But the same guy doing both can't get two, he gets one. That's it. Yeah.
So the paragraph above where it says, unless the Torah divides it
into... That's the next line he's going to explain now. So,
but are these considered divided into separate prohibitions? Because they're in one prohibition.
They're not divided. It's not divided in terms of lashes.
Bizarre. It's going to sound bizarre.
It's like he's done one of Aaron.
If he does one or the other, maybe he doesn't get lashed.
No, he for sure does.
Sure.
Torah says, don't do this or this. Don't do this or this.
He doesn't say don't do this and this. You have to do both.
I know now. But it says...
In other words, either one of these, there's a don't on it.
Right.
Either two separate or enough?
It's one lav that incorporates both.
Two examples.
Okay, in English, English doesn't work good with the Hebrew here, with the V.
Yeah. Unless the Torah divides...
Either the Torah divide, no, the Torah say lo this and lo that.
And it
didn't. Or you'll see the rabbis will divide it for us. We didn't get to that yet in the Rambam. No, we got to get to that. He's going to give examples of the oral tradition doing that. Sometimes the oral tradition say, you know what? It's two. Even though we know the tradition is it's two.
Notwithstanding that.
If you don't have any special traditions, the Torah only says the word lo once.
Yep.
Then you can't lash more than once for whatever is written in that pasuk. It's one lav that's, you know, double header lav. In other words, either one, you'll transgress on it. And if I do both, I'm not transgressing anymore.
So, I mean, that's
a unique scenario. It's very unique because usually don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Every prudent activity carries its own don't. Here we're saying, you know, don't do this or that.
Don't do this and.
Well, it doesn't really mean and. It means or. Well, I know the English. The English.
It is
an or.
Yeah, but a lot of times it means or. A lot of times it means or.
Isn't it synonymous with saying?
It's like and or. Don't do this and or that. That's how you should read it. Don't do this and or that. Don't eat it raw and or cooked.
Right.
But it's still not separate.
It's not. So you only get one lash. 1 7 lash.
The fourth is general. You don't get any.
This is not general. It's very specific. It's very specific.
Well, it's kind of in between.
But isn't it about the
when it says don't eat on the blood, guess what? There's seven ways to eat on the blood.
Different.
There's seven ways to eat on the blood. Here, I don't want you to eat it raw, and or I don't want you to eat it cooked. Each one is very specific. Raw is not cooked. Cooked is not raw. And it's not a if there was an overall set, we didn't know what it meant. And we said, well, this, it means cooked and it means raw. Okay. Then that would be a general one. But here it's specific within the oneness.
So what I just like to suggest what
I hear what's bothering you.
But it's still not separate. It's not divided.
No, but Shelly,
that's what.
But it's the love is actually eating the blood.
It's a clear love, Shelly. It's a clear love, Shelly. Is it any doubt? Is there any doubt in your mind when you, Shelly, when you read the pasuk, Shelly, when you read the pasuk, thou shalt not eat it raw and or cooked? Is there any doubt in your mind without crystal clarity what is being prohibited?
There's no doubt.
Now, when it says, "Don't eat upon the blood."
Yeah, what do you do with that warning?
Now I've got seven different interpretations, so it's not clear. It's not clear. It's so general. It's general. Do you see? No, but this isn't general. General means it's so general, like it fits seven different, totally different scenarios. But here, it's not general. It's clear.
It's still not divided into separate prohibitions. So unless
that's why it's only one.
That's why it's only one.
You're right.
Shelly wants to say you shouldn't give many.
But it says it. No lashes.
One? No, it doesn't say none. You only get one.
One. You don't get none.
You're reading the English and going, you're reading the English and saying there's no
lashes at all. Shelly, the English, I'm telling you here, the English is not doing justice to the Hebrew here.
What is the Hebrew?
Look at the Hebrew. Look at the fourth line. Since it doesn't specify the law for each and every one, ain lokin al kol echad. You don't get lashed on each and every one. English is not saying that. The English is misleading you here.
But isn't it, Rabbi?
It's clearly misleading you here. It doesn't say anything. By the English, it would think. It says. Here, I.
Give me help.
Okay. The English says these are not punished by lashes. It should have added the words for each and every one.
Okay, that was my point.
Okay, but you're going to read the Hebrew.
I know, but I'm looking at the English.
It's a bad English interpretation.
Okay. So write into the author.
Can I suggest, effectively what the...
I understand your question.
Effectively what the Torah is saying is, you must eat it fully roasted. You have nothing to do. And here are a couple of examples.
Oh, that's a good way of saying it. That's a very good way of looking at it. The Torah means to say, now, very good. In other words, what did the Torah write like this? You should eat, well it does really, it does. The Torah does say you should eat it roasted.
Yes.
And if you eat it any other way.
But now it's saying, but you shall not eat it in a way that's not roasted.
Fully.
Very good. No, you shall not
fully
eat,
roasted.
No. You shall no. You, well, yes. Once it's roasted, it's roasted, when, no. When it's roasted, it's not raw. Raw is raw. You listen. There's medium, well done, and rare.
Okay, well,
rare is still raw. I don't care what the English says. I don't care what the English says anymore.
It says nah. It seems raw.
Where's it say?
I don't see. Where's the English here? Do not predict of it. Partially roasted.
That's why I was saying fully roasted.
It means raw.
It's
okay, it's not though. Okay, we'll say fully roasted. Okay, fine. Okay, let's say, you have to eat it fully roasted. Anything, what's saying is, don't eat it if it's not fully roasted.
These are just examples.
Don't eat, you're forbidden to eat something if it's fully, if it's not fully roasted. Now tell me how many examples is not fully roasted in your mind? Raw?
Cooked.
Not fully roasted or cooked.
Rare.
Yeah.
What is not fully roasted in your mind?
Chris.
Partially roasted.
Partially roasted or cooked. Cooked is not fully roasted either. So that's really a very good point you added, Paul. It's really telling you one thing. You can't eat it not fully roasted. And these are the two examples of not fully roasted. So when you eat it raw, it's not fully roasted. If you're eating it cooked, it's not fully roasted. So if I do it twice, so two times I ate it not fully roasted. Which is only one avera. That was a very good way of saying that, Paul.
Isn't it like if they say don't eat pig and you eat ham and pork, it's only going to be one? Because they're both pig.
All right.
Okay.
Especially if you wrap it up in...
Maybe I should have quit while I was there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wrap it up in
Okay, let's move on. This was the easy part of the Rambam. Now let's go to the hard part.
At least we're awake tonight.
Okay, good. All right, let's move on. It's good. Less for me to prepare next week.
Okay.
Okay, now, that was one. Now we got to go to the other way now. Oh, okay, now we're on the next. Now we go to the next prohibition where there's three... with one lav. Here's going to be now an example. The Torah says one lav, three averis, but you're going to get three lashes for it.
Okay.
Ubechadish. I'm talking about chadish. Chadish is you can't eat the new grain until the 15th of Nisan. Alright? Now the Torah says what kind of types of grain are you not allowed to eat? It says.
15th or the
16th? 16th. Velechem, vekoli, vecharmel, lo sochu. They're saying three things you can't eat. You can't eat bread, roasted grain or fresh grain. How many lavs are written there? How many times does it say lo?
One.
So you can't eat this and this and that. Now what happens if you eat one of each right now?
You think it'd be only one based on the previous example.
Right? Based on what we said before, it should be one.
But the right? Oral tradition...
But b'chayel ha-shlushtam shalosh malchus. You're going to get three lashes for it.
Ouch,
why? Because mipi ha-shmua lamdu, the tradition teaches us, shezel l'chalek, that we are meant to divide them into separate averos. Now, using Paul's brilliant logic of before, we could apply it. Because when it came to the Korban Pesach, Paul said the two are really one idea. You can't eat something that's not fully roasted. So there's two examples. Here you don't have that.
Yeah, fresh grain.
Like it's fresh grain, roasted grain, bread. Those are three
different things.
It's not like they don't have the same common denominator. All three are not pickles. Place, you know what I mean? They don't share that commonality, so they're so different, so therefore, and that's why the tradition says each one is a separate law. But you have to have such a tradition. You have to have such a tradition, you see. Yeah, that might be true too.
You could say they're grain products, though. They're all grain products.
No, but they're all different brachas, Paul.
They're all different.
Well, then the Torah would have just called them grain products. Why didn't the Torah call them grain products? That would have solved the issue. Obviously, the Torah says it's three separate lavim. But only with the tradition telling us this could we do it, and then we could last three times.
Yeah, it says oral tradition. Does that mean all the way back to Halacha Moshe?
It could be that. It could mean this is just the way what was taught to be understood. So,
The oral tradition was taught.
Usually, Pia Shmua means it's the way the rabbis understood it. Okay. All right, now. Let's try another example of that. Harei Nemer, it says, Lo yimotze b'cho, you should not be found upon yourself people who do the following things. This is a tricky verse here. Ma'avir b'no uvito ba'esh, you shouldn't pass your children through the fire to burn them up in the idolatry way. There's one lav, but there also shouldn't be a kosem, that's called a guy who predicts the future in one method. Uksamim and a guy who predicts the future in a different method. It's two different types of fortune tellers. So now, what do we have? How many lavim? How many times do I say the word lo?
One.
But there's three different activities here. Having your children burnt in the fire, one type of fortune telling, another type of fortune telling. Even though they're all incorporated into one lav, all right, and the truth is there's a few more over there. As a matter of fact, if you look at the pasuk more, after kosem and kosamim, there's another three words, ma'onein, menachesh, and machashev. Three other types of activities. It's really six. Okay? Still in all, harei chol kosam b'lavim acherim. They're all separate lavim. As the pasuk goes on and says, v'amru lo senacha shuva lo sonenu, by adding the words lo senacha shuva lo sonenu, malamid it teaches shkol echad v'echad b'lavim, so each one is its own love. We don't need to know the whole halachic way how they came out with that. But v'chein kol b'gayos or anything similar to that. Any of these things where the tradition teaches us that we divide it up, we divide it up. And therefore you get lashed many times for all of that. Okay. Dalit. Now, mi shaloka bebezdin al iser kores. Let's say a guy got lashed for an avera that the Torah says you get kores for it. Right? And he got it once and he was, you know, sent back home. They warned him about it and all that stuff. Okay, then he validated it again.
No.
2 days later, does the same thing. Veloka pam shniyal also kares on the very same avera that gets kares again, let's say, eating chametz on Pesach. He ate chametz on Pesach the first day, they warm. Don't you eat chametz. So he eats it, they'll lash him the next day. That night, he's eating chametz on Pesach again.
They warn him again.
They warn him again, and they'll lash him again. Okay, now, imachol pam shlishis, if he does it the third time, ain malkin aso, we don't give him any lashes at all, no problem. Why? Because he's kind of said, I don't care. In other words, we're not finished, we're only halfway done, don't get upset yet. In other words, why do we lash the guy? We didn't finish, the most important part is yet to come. Without the next part, you won't understand. Why are we lashing him? Because, you know, it'll stop. Kapora, and you're not okay. You were overcome by your Yetzirah. I understand. We're going to whip you hard. You're going to learn. You're not going to listen next time. And hopefully it'll help. Okay, at least it may have helped for a year or two, whatever. But if the guy comes around the next day, maybe he's been in a tough mood. Okay, but if he does it 3 days in a row, what's he really saying?
I don't
give a darn. Well, once you don't give a darn, then this is pointless. So you think that's great. Let everybody say that and get out of it. Yeah, you're going to get out of this, but look what you get into now. Elamachnisin also lakipa. They put him into the old Chinese torture. They put him into the kippa. What's a kippa? It's a structure. It's a structure that's made to custom modeled for you. Imagine a little capsule that stands on the ground, that's covered on top, and they figure, okay, you're 5'10". We're going to make a capsule that's exactly 5'10". Your girth, your waist is 36 inches. We're going to make the capsule 36 inches. Step into the capsule. We lock you in there. There's only one little opening for you to put food in your mouth. Okay? In other words, it's a very tight fit. What's the word?
Solitary.
No, more than solitary.
Constricted.
What's the word? They have that phobia. What's it called?
Claustrophobia.
Very claustrophobic. Imagine you're in an MRI tube that's standing up. Okay, imagine that, an MRI tube. You ever been in an MRI?
Yes, I hate it.
Right? It's made to fit, right? It's like, mom, you know. Now, take the MRI tube, instead of this way, make it this way. And the only opening is to put food in your mouth. Now, what happens? V'humakom tsar, it's a very narrow, claustrophobic place. Kefikom osa, measured to his height. V'en yachol ishko, he can't even lie down. So what do we do to such a guy? We give him meager amounts of food, umayim lachatz, a little bit of water, for a little while, till his stomach, atche yetzromev, till his stomach begins to contract. Right, it might take a couple days. So his stomach's getting smaller and smaller. Ve yichle, he gets sick a little bit from it being small. But it's only the setup now. Then we give him lots of barley.
Ouch.
That when it gets mixed up with the juices inside, it will. What happens when we put barley in a cholent?
It
expands. So now we get a contracted stomach, right? And now abdomen, whatever you want to call it. And now we have food. When it goes down, it grows. And what will happen? At shekresin of gas until the belly busts.
Sounds like torture.
So yes! Let's hear it for torture! In other words, we're saying like this.
Oh my.
You know what? If you're gonna, they know that this is what's coming down the line.
Called it by this.
No, I'm saying they know. No, you're told in advance. In other words, if you have total disregard for Torah mitzvahs, this is what's gonna happen.
But it's just three strikes and you're dead.
This guy is being belligerent. We're not talking about where the guy ate chametz today and then 5 years later. It's not like, you know, on your, a driving record, you know, if you do it three times your whole life, we bust you. The guy is saying, I don't care what you do to me. The whole Torah is meaningless to me because I'm doing what I want anyway. Yeah. So now such a guy like that, you have no right to live.
They have their means.
A lot of those
you have no right to live. remember, this is all when there is a bezdin, and there's respect for the law. We wouldn't do this today because nobody.
That's the mass produce those tubes.
Yeah, right. You can't mass.
It's different in capital punishment. It's a different method.
No, because they're not doing anything to him. He's dying naturally.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
He's dying naturally. His stomach is busting, that's all. And worse, I don't know if he gets a kapara for this.
I mean, you wouldn't have to have the same...
I don't know where he's going to get buried.
You know how the courts were so...
Yeah, the court will for sure say, but it's clear what he's done.
There's going to be warnings and all that stuff.
No, in each... It's like 3 days in a row. Yeah,
you crossed the line here. You crossed the line.
What do you do with a guy?
You crossed the line. That's it. It's over.
At the end of the day, so is it the same court?
They take him to court, and it's they go through the whole court case.
It's not 23.
What?
It's not the whole Sanhedrin. Like
well, you'll only lash the guy with three. But if, right, we, so if the guy is a notoriously, what's the word I want to use?
Habitual
offender, but doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's a flagrant violator that he does not care. So what do you do with such a guy?
Kill him.
There's no answer. Now you fear the guy, you know, listen, you know these are the rules. It's not like, they say, well, now you're going to get, they tell him in advance, listen, guy, you've done it once. I'm sure they must tell everybody, we lashed you today. We just want you to know that if you're going to come around, the next thing is good, this is what's going to happen to you. Most people are just going to behave, even out of fear, but they're not going to do it.
So we think this is
three see, we live in a world where the culprit has all the rights in the world. The culprit, I killed somebody, I demand a college education, university degree while I'm in jail. I deserve all the best foods. You'll have to take care of me. You don't have any rights if you violate God's world. You're losing your rights. And you're doing it 3 days in a row. You understand what you're doing to the Jew? You say, I don't give a damn. Okay, if you don't give a damn, so die. And that's the way it should be. You know, gotta be so liberal minded over here. So, you know, he got lashed, they sat down, and you're not supposed to do this. You know, so I don't care, so you don't care. Then what do you do with such a guy? He's gotta die. That's all.
And maybe it's
I don't know why I've got it.
3 days in a row? Is it a year or three days?
Very, very quickly. One after. Very soon. It's like it shows he doesn't care. In other words, it's not like, you know, oh, I forgot. I didn't know. They warned him. A lot of times, in the heat of the moment, you make a mistake. But if you're doing it three times in a row, that means you don't care. Hey, maybe it's 3 days apart, 4 days apart. It's within a very close time. It's not like the guy forgot. You know what I'm saying? I forgot it was 20 years ago the last time I did it. Okay, 20 years, you know, it's not belligerent. But you know, when does the teacher, when did he throw a kid out of school? You know, he mouthed off the teacher today. This will be 3 days in a row? What if he mouths off three times in 2 weeks?
But is this over bar mitzvah, like a 14-year-old?
For sure he has to be over bar mitzvah.
Maybe a 14-year-old who's going...
So good, so you know what? Those people are better off dead. And you have no problem with the Ben Sorer Mora? People who don't listen, people think, I don't care, you can punish me, I'm gonna do it anyway, those people have to die. What else are you gonna do? Tell me what else you're gonna do with them. Give me a better solution.
Exile.
He's gonna keep eating. You ever said every time a Jew does not vera, he destroys the spiritual world that me and you live in. Every time a Jew does this, he's drilling a hole in the boat in the Atlantic Ocean.
We're out of the boat.
That's where we are. We're killing him.
Out of the boat.
No, he's a Jew. He's alive, and unless he dies, he's gonna keep doing that. You're destroying the Jewish. It's a pretty big boat. This boat is as big as the world, so you can't throw him off the boat.
And we would
the only way he could throw him off the boat, he throws in the ocean, he dies.
It's essentially capital punishment. You probably it's what? A lot more of these.
It's capital punishment. So this is like...
No, it's natural death.
No, it's not.
It's not one of the four capital punishments.
Right. I don't care. It's
like, at the end of the day, it's the same result. The guy's dead.
No, we didn't kill him. We didn't kill him.
He ate himself to death.
That's right.
There you go.
That's like saying the molten model down his...
No, that's a death
case. Capital punishment.
No, if you want, don't eat. If you want, don't eat. You'll die from starvation.
How different is this than the guy we tie up, we throw the mold?
Because we are actively killing him. We are, he doesn't have to, he has to chew the food. If he doesn't chew the food, he won't die this way.
So he dies of starvation. There's no choice.
But he's going to want to eat. He's hungry. He's going to eat. So he will be killing himself. It's not like the guy eats the molten lead.
So say,
not the guy goes, here's molten lead. He's not doing that. Here, he has to chew the food. He has to eat the food. Person, you know,
fears, that's right? It's been one of my favorites.
Okay, but here, okay, anyway, check if Morty and Menachem are there to call me and he can say Kaddish.